Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
When the Santa's out. Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Contra. It's great to be with all of you again in here. I, of course, am the best-selling author of The Gorilla's Guide to the Baofeng Radio and The Gorilla's Guide to Signals Intelligence, both available on Amazon.com as well as Brushbeater.store. You head on over to Brushbeater.store. I have extended the book sale over there for another week. We had the spring book sale going on. I've had that going on for a couple of weeks now. And really just trying to kick the knowledge out there as far and wide as I can. So, you know, all of the field books, all of the hip pocket training guides, the Gorilla's Guide to Baofeng Radio and the Top Spiral Bound format, all of which are over there for $15. So this is a great opportunity to stock up on that knowledge and to get yourself really in a better position for this upcoming summer of love that I see manifesting, that I see going down. And you know, it's something that I talked about yesterday on Coffee and a Mic. And so Mike Humphreys over there does really, really good work. I have enjoyed his podcasting for a long while now. It was a big honor to be invited on that show. We went right at 2 hours of just raw, you know, like very little conversation, almost no warm-up to lead into the show. We just hit it, and it was a heck of a lot of fun. We talked about all kinds of stuff, ranging from the rise of fascism in America, which is exactly what we're seeing. We're going to be talking about some of that in this episode, because fascism is one of those things that, you know, us here in America, we have kind of a cartoonish view of it. You know, we think of people goose-stepping around and giving Roman salutes and all that kind of thing. But there's this misconception out there that a lot of people have. They think that fascism seems to be the answer to communism. And that's not necessarily so. But there's a strong argument that could be made that we're living in a fascist society now. And this is something that a lot of conservatives I've noticed struggle with. They have a pretty hard time wrapping their brain around that notion. But yet it is correct. And I'm going to be making the case for that in this episode. But we were talking about that yesterday. We were talking about the campus protests, the counter-protests, the counter-revolution that's manifesting around it. And the pushback that is happening, and we talked some tech topics too. So if you haven't caught that, we had a heck of a lot of fun, and one of the snippets that was taken from that is went viral around Twitter now, and that I think is pretty cool. We had about a 3-minute segment where I broke down literally how the banking industry runs the government. And kept that succinct. A lot of people think that, you know, well, the government bails out the banking industry, so on and so forth. Well, not really. Not really. they're one and the same. They're one and the same. So, you know, anyway, with that said, brushbeater.store, head on over to the store, check everything out. Night vision, thermal, you name it, everything is in stock. The Rattler V2s are in stock. I have got hands on with these now for about a week, and I'm telling you, they live up to the hype in every single way. Right, in every single way, they 100% live up to the hype. And I think that you're really going to like them. If you are just getting into thermal, right now the Rattler V2s are all rifle scopes. But they have such a compact form factor that, you know, you can easily use it as a handheld. It's not really meant to be, you know, worn on your head or anything. It's kind of a purpose-built item, but still, the entry-level model that I offer, the Rattler V2-19-256, is a hell of a good tool for under $1,000. All right, under $1,000. I mean, AGM's crushing the market. I'm here for it. I am one of their top dealers, and I am going to get you the best price on the net possible, literally possible. As a dealer, getting you everything literally at the lowest price possible. So, you know, and I'll take care of you. I will take very good care of you. Night vision, we've got everything from entry-level night vision, some of the Gen 2 stuff, the Wolf NL and NW1s, 14s, which I think punch way above their weight class for being Gen 2 tubes, all the way up to PVS 31s. And we have everything in between. Okay, we got everything in between. Stock up on it now. Okay, I'm telling you, stock up on it now. I'm not saying that there's going to be a shortage of certain technologies on the horizon, because I don't know, but I can say that in the thermal world, there are certain companies who are now under the microscope, one of them being iRay. They are under the microscope, and there may be some issues. There may be some supply issues. So we're getting ahead of that on my end. We're getting very much ahead of that and trying to be ahead of the curve as much as I can. And that is in order to keep you supplied throughout the summer, because I think that there's going to be a run on some of these technologies, particularly night vision. But that's going to apply to thermal as well. Thermal seems to be getting hit first. But there's going to be some of the lower price point night vision that's going to get rolled up in these new sanctions on certain technology houses in China and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. But what I'm going to say is that, you know, we're making moves to try and mitigate that as much as possible. But it is a hard road. Okay, it is a hard road. With night vision, I expect as things, the conditions of the world kind of continue to deteriorate, night vision is going to, especially less expensive night vision, some of the more down market stuff, it's going to become harder to come by. I see that on the horizon. Okay, I see that on the horizon. It's very likely that by the end of the summer, going into the election season, that certain technologies are going to be hard to get. So if you're on the fence, you know, hey, reach out, shoot me an email. I try to get back to emails as quickly as I can. You know, as a lot of y'all know, I am a very busy man. I've got the company that I run. You know, when I'm not running classes, you know, I'm also a farmer, and, you know, everything else, all stuff that goes along with it. So, But I will, you know, any questions that you may have, I'm more than happy to answer. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve the community. And again, you know, I'm not telling anybody this because I'm in the market or anything like that. I didn't get into night vision and thermal sales because I intended on making it a giant business. It was, which it has become, but I got into it because the community really needed it. The community needed it. And there's a lot of information that conflicts itself online. And I think that, you know, it was a natural opportunity for us to get into it. So I'm passing along to the greater community what I'm hearing and just giving you my assurance that I'm doing everything that I can to stay ahead of the potential runs on all this technology that may end up happening. All right, it may end up happening. We're already getting signals from Elbit that there may be delays in higher-end units and that there's certainly... some of the more down market stuff may become unavailable. So, you know, the lower FOM units, the lower tier units, the more down market entry level production stuff that is Gen 3 might be getting hard to get from Elbit. I can speak directly for Elbit, but I would think that extends to L3 as well. So anyhow, enough about that, though. Enough about that. That is just kind of telling you where we are and sharing what I know and, you know, my desire to get high technology in your hands because I'm telling you, it makes a world of difference. All right, it makes a world of difference. I've done episodes in the past. I think if you're starting with nothing and you need one thing, that's going to be a Rattler clip-on. And you know, I really need to do a video on that. And I will. I will soon. Very soon. Anyway. Big breaking news yesterday. Yesterday was a huge news day in the tech world. And there was quite a bit of stuff that was disclosed to the larger community if you were paying attention. And there were a few stories that came out yesterday that should be very deeply concerning for privacy advocates, for security advocates, with regard to your phone habits and messaging apps. Something that I've talked about for a long period of time is the vulnerabilities of Signal. Telegram is yet another one. Wire is another one that, you know, I'm not going to speak for Telegram. I am not going to speak for Telegram. But both Signal and then Wire were early adopters of the idea of, you know, private messaging. You know, something more secure than SMS messages over your cell phone. Because SMS messages are absolutely not secure. They never have been. You know, that was disclosed, you know, all the way back with the Martha Stewart insider trading scandal. If for anybody that paid attention, they were literally reading her text messages. And that was back in the days of flip phones and, you know, having to press a keyboard three times in order to get, you know, specific letters. But, you know, Signal has been around for a long period of time. There's tons of adopters out there for it. And as I was talking about yesterday with Mike on Coffee and a Mic, is that you can't get into the habit, and a lot of people do this, okay? You cannot get into the habit of doing only one thing over and over and over again. And this stasis, right? Because technology is in perpetuity. This is something that I say constantly. Technology is in perpetuity, and the tactics are literally timeless. Okay, our practices are the things that we do, and we constantly refine these. The technology itself is in perpetuity, though. We're constantly changing technology. You know, we don't fight wars like Gettysburg anymore. I mean, we could try it. They certainly give it their best shot in Ukraine, but it doesn't work out very well, right? You know, we don't fight that way because technology has changed. Technology is constantly in an evolution. And if we remain in stasis with it, if we are lazy, and a lot of people are. Okay, a lot of people are. That's just a fact. Lot of people are really lazy. And guess what? You deserve the results. Okay, you deserve the results. If you're one of those people who pushes back at me online saying, oh, well, I don't see why the things that you talk about are so bad because you don't know what you are talking about. And you are a lightning rod of danger to everyone else around you. Okay? Because you are lazy. You are lazy. You do not do your own homework. You do not think. You cannot think for yourself. All right? So, you know, Signal is really a no-go for anything other than conversations you would normally be having anyway. All right? Whiteside communication. You already know the people you're talking to, and the world knows that you know them. And so, you know, Signal's one advantage at that point. Its one advantage is that I can install it on Wi-Fi only devices and still, you know, be able to call people who are on the Signal network, and most people are on it. Okay. But as far as this saying, well, it's secure because it's encrypted. Yeah, according to who? It's secure because they say so. Okay. You know, that's not going to get it. All right. That is not going to get it. So, we're going to dive into that. So one of the stories that broke yesterday, and this is one that is pretty important. And you tell me, as critical thinkers and beer drinkers, if this organization has your best interests at heart. So let's talk about some quotations from the chairman of the Signal Foundation. Of course, we know that Signal is hosted by Amazon Web Services, and because it is domestically housed here in the United States, it is a target of U.S. Code Title III, which authorizes electronic surveillance of all communications inside the United States, as well as FISA, which is the Foreign and Intelligence Surveillance Act. So, pretty much, the NSA has jurisdiction over 100% of it, and because it is hosted here in the United States by a publicly traded company, you better bet your sweet ass that they have the keys to the kingdom. So, if you're doing something that you probably wouldn't normally do in the public purview of everyone else, you might ought to double check your sources and methods. Just saying. Let's dive into it. So the chairman of the Signal Foundation just so happens to be a lady by the name of Catherine Mayer. Well, who is Catherine Mayer? She also happens to be the CEO of NPR. That's right. National Public Radio, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is a private corporation which receives a huge amount of your and mine tax dollars. She's the CEO. She's also the chairman of the Signal Foundation, which is the overarching controlling entity of Signal. Yes, sir, you cannot make this one up. And let's take a look at her resume. So this is coming from cityjournal.org, an article written by Christopher F. Rufo. Catherine Mayer has a golden resume with stints and affiliations at UNICEF, the Atlantic Council, the World Economic Forum. Ooh, so she has kissed the ring. The State Department, that's another winning organization. Stanford University and the Council on Future Relations. Bill Clinton Incorporated. She was the chief executive officer and executive director of the Wikimedia Foundation. Huh, boy, that's interesting as well. And as of last month, she is the CEO of National Public Radio. Huh. The article goes on. Mere weeks into this new role, Mayer has stepped into controversy. Longtime NPR senior editor Uri Berliner published a scathing indictment of the self-professed public media services' ideological capture. Rather than address the substance of these criticisms, which will ring true to anyone who's listened to NPR over the past decade, Mayer punished Berliner with a five-day unpaid suspension. Berliner announced his resignation from NPR earlier today. This article came out on the 17th of April. But Mayer has another problem. Her archive of 29,400 tweets. Ooh. Huh. And so Christopher Rufo here had went through and categorized a lot of this stuff. And it was exactly what you would expect from an unhinged liberal. Buzzwords, phrases, this goes on. Structural privilege. Epistemic emergency. Transit justice. This is the push to get everybody to only use public transportation. You won't be able to afford cars anymore, right? And then once you have the public transportation, you're getting herded around, like how the TSA treats everyone. And you know, if you are on the wrong side of politics, you just become unpersoned. That's what they're gonna do. Non-binary people. Yeah, of course. Non-binary people, they can't make up their mind on what bathroom they want to use. It's fucked up in the head, right? Late-stage capitalism, right? Okay, this is your slide into state capitalism. That is what they argue for. Cis white mobility privilege. All right. The politics of representation. Folks, I don't know what the hell that even is. She supported Black Lives Matter from its earliest days. Of course, she did. She compares driving cars with smoking cigarettes. See, I told you. I told you. These are not pro-freedom people. They do not believe in your freedom. They are also not communists, however. Just because someone is a liberal doesn't make them a communist. She's much more akin to a fascist than she is a Marxist. But she's very concerned about toxic masculinity. Well, of course she is. Okay, of course she is. She's killing everyone with compassion, right? Like Kathy Bates in Misery. That's what these types of people are. But going through this, she is a unhinged. Absolutely unhinged liberal, and probably not something that would shock you as being in charge of NPR. NPR is very much left-wing state media in America. There's a strong argument to be made that it is state-controlled media. And of course, this article goes on. She's no fan of Donald Trump, of course. She really doesn't like people like you and I. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. And you have to understand that she was hired for a job. Okay. Mayor was hired for a job. Someone picked her to be in charge. Someone places a CEO in the position that they are placed. Doesn't matter what size the corporation is. A CEO is hired as a manager by the oligarchy controlling that entity. And then they hire that person to do their bidding, to execute whatever it is that they have on their agenda. And you typically don't hire people that don't share your values. That's just kind of the way that it goes. Okay. So, you know, interestingly enough, this article goes on. This is one of the money quotes right here. The new CEO of NPR then is a left-wing ideologue who supports wide-scale censorship and considers the First Amendment an impediment to her campaign to sanitize the world of wrong opinions. Uh-huh. So, that's her and NPR. Let's take a look at her and her relationship with the Signal Foundation. So this is also coming from Christopher Rufo's work. This is on his Substack, which is it's a good follow. It's a good follow. It's a good blog to follow. But this is, of course, the Signal's Catherine Mayer problem. The encrypted messaging service Signal is the application of choice for dissenters around the world. The app has been downloaded by more than 100 million users and boasts a high-profile endorsement from NSA leaker Edward Snowden. Yeah, but that was a decade ago. I highly doubt, unless he's just pumping out disinformation now, which very well could be true, there should not be an endorsement. It was okay, but with flaws a decade ago. It's not good now. There's a lot better options out there. But Signal has created the perception that its users, including political dissenters, can communicate with one another without the fear of government interception or persecution. But the insider story of Signal raises questions about the app's origins and its relationship with the government, and in particular, American intelligence apparatus. Such a relationship would be troubling given how much we've learned in recent years about extensive efforts to control and censor information undertaken by technology companies, sometimes in tandem with government officials. First, the original story. Technology behind Signal, which operates as a nonprofit foundation, was initially funded in part through a $3 million grant from the government-sponsored Open Technology Fund. All right. And there's a lot of pet projects that are funded like this, but you got to understand that money always comes with a catch, and a very strong catch. They will maintain the keys to the kingdom. Okay? They will maintain the keys to the kingdom. And if you don't believe me, I want you to look up any interview that Linus Torvalds has done. He's the man that created Linux. Linus Torvalds talked about how the government wanted a backdoor into the Linux operating system that he created. And he talked about it in depth. And a lot of the people that are naysayers about all that either have signed NDAs or they are willingly giving you disinformation. Now, I'm not asking you to believe me. You can take the information or leave it. You can do with it what you will. But don't say that you weren't warned. The article goes on. The other potential problem for the Signal Foundation's current chairman of the board, or is the Signal Foundation's current chairman of the board, Catherine Mayer, who started her career as a U.S.-backed agent of regime change during the Arab Spring. Ah, There it is. I've talked about this. I have talked about this on many, many episodes. The Arab Spring was nothing more than a series of color revolutions where the U.S. tech industry was able to test bed its quiet weapons for silent wars. Social media. We started with Facebook in Tunisia. Then we were using Facebook in Egypt with Tahrir Square. Then when Libya rolled around, we learned that Facebook wasn't fast enough. We needed a faster medium. Who was waiting in the wings? Twitter. How were those people that were utilizing this, that were facilitating these color revolutions for an effort in regime change all across the Middle East, the quote-unquote Arab Spring, how were they communicating their ground game? Via Signal. Via Signal. Goes on. During the Arab Spring period, for instance, Mayer ran digital communications initiatives in the Middle East and North Africa for the Democrat or the National Democratic Institute, a largely government-funded organization that works in concert with the American foreign policy campaigns. Mayer cultivated relationships with online dissidents and used American technologies to advance the interests of U.S.-supported color revolutions abroad. So, we could go on here. This article is incredibly well done. Rufo's reporting is excellent. He is absolutely spot on. And he is warning you, as am I. Just because everybody's doing something doesn't mean you should be. Okay? And we're entering a very dangerous time domestically. Allow me to explain. So, we're all currently focused on, you know, the current thing, which is the campus protests back and forth, and the you know, all of the Gaza protesters, the Free Palestine, ceasefire now, all that stuff, right? And then the pro-Israeli protesters, which I contend aren't really pro-Israeli so much. Maybe some of them are. Certainly some of them are, but I don't think that, because there's a lot of people in the public space who are just so fed up with the left in totes. They're so fed up with the left. They're so done with them. They're so done with being blamed for everything. They're so done with the open contempt. They're so done with the disrespect. They're so done with the nonsense. With the them dictating how you are going to think, how you are going to speak. Right, you don't control the conversation in the public square. But yet these people do. They're fed up with it. So we're seeing a reaction to it. And how do you react to that? How do you make these people so utterly furious instantly? It's simple. Simply be a contrarian. All you have to do is be a contrarian. And that is what we are seeing now. That is what we are experiencing. And we're seeing this on the college campuses and the pushback to it. You're seeing the fraternities. I talked about that in the last episode. That is a counter-revolution that is manifesting. But here's the thing. There's a third faction, and I've talked about this ad nauseum. The U.S. government is its own faction in this. And it is my personal belief that the United States government, as a fascist entity, is working to destabilize, very actively destabilize both sides. The right makes a very convenient enemy because they can turn and look at the left and say, see, we're doing something, right? Even though the left is never satisfied. They're never going to be satisfied because they're communist revolutionaries. The United States government is not a communist institution. It's not captured by communism. There are people on the left who are favorable to at least some communist ideologies. Sure. Absolutely. I would definitely agree with that statement. However, we know that fascism is the marriage of private industry and governance. That is what it is. That is its definition. And it picks the winners and losers. You have state capitalism, so it were. It's very interesting because one of the great capitalist success stories of the 20th, very late 20th century, going into the 21st century, is Amazon.com. It's online retail in general, but Amazon.com is a wild American success story. And it's interesting that it's coming out that maybe Jeff Bezos wasn't really the entrepreneur and the visionary that we think. Well, his dad was a pretty high-ranking member of DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Administration. And so, with that said, kind of calls into question the genuineness, if you will, of Jeff Bezos of Amazon.com. How much government went into that? And what does that have to do with Signal? Well, they began Amazon Web Services, and they host much of the internet. Where do you think that data goes? What do you think they do with it? And this, of course, extends to Signal. If Catherine Mayer is the chairman, the CEO, the HMFIC of the Signal Foundation, which holds the keys to the kingdom, and you are placing all of your trust in it blindly, like a lemming, you tell me. Do you think that this woman, this organization, has your best interest at heart? A woman who led regime change, who absolutely destroyed the Middle East, by the way. The Arab Spring, particularly in Libya, absolutely destroyed countries. Am I saying that Gaddafi was a good guy? No. But look at how we left that place. We created anarchy so that British Petroleum could profiteer off of it. That's what happened. That is what happened. Hillary Clinton said, "We came, we saw, and he died." Right? That's what she stated. One of the most evil people to ever walk the face of the earth. And this woman, this Catherine Mayer, her success there led to her promotions. So she could profiteer further, pilfering your tax dollars. And yet you dare to lecture me about the messaging app that this woman runs, telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, like I said, can't say you weren't warned. Now, as I talked about yesterday on Coffee and a Mic, and I'll dive into a little bit here, there are some solutions, there are some workarounds. But much of that has to do with your own tradecraft. Okay, you can't remain in stasis. You can't just sit on your laurels and pretend as though you're just going to do the one thing. And I know what a lot of people out there are thinking. You know, a lot of you out there are thinking, well, I don't have time to do my homework on all this stuff. Why don't you just tell me like one thing that we can do, and that's just what we do. Well, the reality is that there is no complete turnkey solution to all the things. There's just not. There's not, and there's never going to be. And if you look at it that way, then you are wrong. But there are a number of alternative paths that you can go on which offer a much higher level of security. And don't give me that black pill stuff of, well, you know, there's just nothing that's going to be secure, and I'm not going to do anything. Well, you know, if that's your thought, then you are absolutely wrong in that regard as well. Absolutely, absolutely wrong. It doesn't mean that you don't do anything. The task is tall and is hard. Yes, I understand. Okay, I understand. But it is not impossible. It is not impossible. And if you are at all concerned about your private communications, then you need to listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. Alternative messaging apps that are decentralized in nature, that needs to be your watchword. I have talked about this many times in the past, but this is what you need to focus on. Okay? Alternative messaging apps are decentralized in nature. Element is one of them. Element is a really good one. Kutch. C-W-T-C-H. Kutch. Another one. Very similar to Element. Offers a lot of capabilities. Also decentralized, meaning it is going through its own set of routers all around the world. It is a store and forward network. All right. Session is yet another one that is really good. Really, really good. Another store and forward network. Session also allows voice calls and video calls now. The latest edition of it allows for video calls. So there's a lot of really good stuff in there, right? There's several others. There's new ones that seem to be popping up weekly. Some are really good. Others, you know, maybe need a little spit and polish on them. But the thing is that don't get into the habit of doing only one thing and compartmentalize who you're talking to. Now, all right, so I've beat up on the ownership of Signal and the people behind the curtain there. But let's talk about, you know, why. What are the dangers with it? Because you'll hear a lot of people who don't know much of anything at all other than buzzwords that'll say, yeah, but it's encrypted. It's encrypted. See, because it's encrypted and it's really good because it's encrypted. You know, that's kind of like an idiocracy when they say, well, it's what plants crave. Right, Brondo is what plants crave. It's not what plants crave. They want water, right? Don't be a lemming, okay? Signal has to use your phone number to register into its network, right? And when it does that, it alerts everyone else on the network that has your phone number stored into their device because Signal also has a backdoor into your device. It is looking at all of your contacts. When you install Signal, it prompts you, says, give Signal permission to view your contacts. And of course, you click check, you know, yes, because you want to use Signal, right? To talk to all the people. Well, what it's doing when it's doing that is it is taking a record of all those contacts that you have, assigning it to your phone number. So the system now knows everybody that you've talked to, right? And it knows now by matching up who is also in that Signal network. This is called a relation map. When it applies to geolocation, we call this proxemics. But this is a relation map. If you don't think that data is being weaponized for some sort of purpose, you got another thing coming. Anything that requires your phone number, this includes Telegram, by the way. Telegram is not privacy conscious. Okay, I saw the interview that the guy did with Tucker. I kind of skimmed through it. I knew the way that it was going to go. This guy was British. He's got some Russian associations as well. That is, British is you know, 13 eyes, 9 eyes, all that electronic eavesdropping. You have absolutely no rights whatsoever, protections of privacy under British common law. And in Russia, it's the same. And they may very well have a more robust electronic surveillance program than we have here in the United States. I don't know. But I assume that it's at least as good as ours, if not better. I know that the Russians, there are two countries in the world that lead the world in hacking capabilities, and that is Russia is number one, and Israel is right there with them. Their cyber warfare programs are incredible, and we've been leaning on the Israelis for a long period of time in that regard. So I would venture to guess that the Russians have as robust a system of surveillance along with the Chinese because they share information, they share technology, they're sharing weapons, right, along with the Iranians. And so, you know, if you're using Telegram under the auspices that there's any sort of privacy, security, or anonymity with it, again, you're registering your phone number into the network. That's not going to do anything for you. Okay, so the other ones that I mentioned, Element, Session, Cypher is another one. There are a lot of these out there. Kutch, that was the other one, because I'm speaking completely off the cuff here. But these, and there are others too that I'm just not going to mention because I want you to do your homework. Those are good ones to get your feet wet into the concept of more secure messaging. And you're not assigning any metadata. It doesn't have, none of those apps have access to any of your contacts, and you are compartmentalizing the data that is being shared along those networks. So this is something you want. Okay. These are 100% free, by the way. Every one of those are 100% free. Every one of them that I mentioned. You don't have to pay anything for it. You can go to GitHub. You can literally see each of those are open source codes. So if you're a code monkey, I am not. You can go in. You can look at all of those. Hey, bam. All right. This is yet another option. Okay. It's another tool in the toolbox. And that compartmentalization of your contacts really needs to become a watchword going forward. So, talking about the marriage of private industry, corporations, corporatocracy, and the federal government, right? And what that means to be fascist. So a lot of people think that fascism, this idea of fascism is, you know, goose stepping, ultra right wing. They've mislabeled in a lot of ways the MAGA movement, Make America Great Again, adherence as being fascist, when the reality is that the whole reason MAGA exists is a reaction to the misgivings and the misdeeds of the senior executive service, this corporatocracy, this kleptocracy, the installation of people who were groomed through government and government affiliation with private industries to be in the CEO roles. This is exactly what's happened here. And now they are turning all those weapons that they were fined overseas onto you and I. Are you following me? They have turned these weapons onto you and I. Silent weapons for quiet wars. They're controlling the narrative. They're shaping it. You know, it came out this morning that the Donald Trump Mar-a-Lago classified documents, quote unquote, that the FBI faked the cover sheets. Well, the day that story broke, we went on the air with Sons of Liberty, and we talked about it. And of course, Madman Actual was on, myself, Dolio, and I want to say Johnny Paratrooper was on that episode as well, and we were talking about how those TS cover sheets didn't look right. And the top secret cover sheets didn't look right. Well, here we are. They didn't look right because they weren't real. And now it has been broken that not only were they not real, but they were imitations that the FBI placed out there in order to take the picture that they then submitted to the media. Well, I don't understand why there was a picture given to the media in the first place. That didn't make any sense. We didn't see any such pictures when they raided the Biden household and found a lot of classified material just hanging out in the garage by his Corvette. We didn't see that. Why didn't we see that? Why is there a difference here? Why is there a double standard? But that aside, we know why that is. Okay, we know why that is. But that aside, they falsified evidence. See, this is a problem. When you do this, it is the exclusionary rule. And the exclusionary rule as a legal clause states that an investigating entity that is investigating you for a crime has to recover the evidence, whatever evidence is present of a crime, based on probable cause, in their good faith, untampered, and that it is recovered, it is stored, and there is a solid chain of custody to prevent any tampering with that evidence. So that once it is brought before a jury, there is no question as to the validity of the evidence itself and the manner in which it was recovered. They can't do that now. They introduced something fake into what was a crime scene, what was being investigated as a crime, right? And they introduced something that was obviously fake. Well, now the question becomes, what else did they introduce? Probably a lot. There's news stories out there right now about how the FBI dropped off the very same classified documents just weeks prior to that raid. They planted the evidence. Why would they do that? They were just inviting themselves back in. Why was the media tipped off? Because it was a propaganda campaign from the very beginning, top to bottom. And people like this mayor woman in charge of the state media's propaganda arm, National Public Radio that you and I pay for with our tax dollars, that runs the so-called Secure Messaging App Foundation, to where they have all of the keys to the kingdom. She is the attack dog. She is the pit bull that the masters have placed out there against you and I. Don't get caught up in it, folks. Heed the warning. And don't say you weren't warned. I don't know how many times you have to be told. But with that said, quick shout out to show sponsors, brushbeater.store. Get on over there. Like I said at the beginning of the show, the spring book sale is continuing. T-shirts are over there as well. We're going to be rolling out the summer editions of shirts here real, real soon. I've got a new design in the works. We're going to have hats coming out as well. I'm real excited for that. All of the fun stuff for the summer of love. So all of the merch, the night vision is going to be up over there. All right, we've got everything back in stock. Freeze-dried food over there as well. And, of course, all of your communications needs to be squared away. We've got it. Training dates up on the calendar. The calendar is completely full and rounded out for the remainder of the year. I've got the last class that I added up for the summertime going into late summer in Plano, Texas. All right, Plano, Texas, just north of Dallas. I'm really, really excited about this class. We have sold a bunch of slots already. I think that this one is going to fill up probably pretty quick. I've got room for up to 25 in that class, and I'm pretty sure that we're gonna end up being at capacity, if not maybe a little bit over it. So definitely don't get left out on that one. Gonna be in Wyoming here in a month for the RTO and advanced RTO course as well. So if you're out west, that's gonna be the last opportunity you get until we are gonna be in Missouri, down in sunny southern Missouri, down in the foothills of the Ozarks, coming up in September. So really good time of the year to be out there in southern Missouri. Anyway, brushbeatergold.com. All right, brushbeatergold.com. Get over there. Check that site out. See what the great folks at Genesis Gold Group can do for you. We know that the U.S. dollar is losing its buying power by about 15% every year. It's going to be a little bit more than that this year with the Biden administration and their horrible, horrible economic practices. So you definitely want to look at alternatives for your own individual retirement plan. It's what I do. It is who I trust. That is brushbeatergold.com. Brushbeatergold.com. Folks, with that said, again, heed the warnings. Get out there. Train hard. All right. Train hard. Do something that matters. I'll talk to you again very, very soon. God bless. This is NC Scout out.